And welcome into the latest installment of Tony Talk with the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, powered up here on Scoops with DannyMac.com, presented all season long by our great sponsors, Marie Davila Senior Living, Triad Bank, Victory Men's Health, Greenville University, and Be the Match. All season long, we've talked about trends in baseball, headlines around the league, but I thought it'd be fun, Tony, this week to just narrow it down to what's in front of us for the Cardinals, and that is 10 games to go, a three-game lead in the division, and oh, look, a four-game series at Wrigley Field. I'm not saying you miss being in the dugout, but boy, I would think if you ever miss it, it might be a weekend series like this.
I'd say the only thing that would be more fun and more exciting than the last 10 days, especially two series head-to-head against a team that's right behind you, would be if you get to manage in October, because that's the most fun. But the urgency of the moment and the fact that you can let everything go, you're not thinking about resting guys, you're not talking about trying to get guys work, you're just trying to do what's the best matchups that we can do to win the game that day. That's exciting and fun.
And there's a lot of math, and fans and media will say, let's see, if they go 5-5, Cubs would need to go 9-1. I mean, in your mind, you're a numbers guy. Would you, and you're not going to say anything to the players, but are you kind of doing the math in your head about what we need to do versus what they could do or what Milwaukee could do?
No, because that's anything that distracts you from the game that you're playing that day makes it harder for you. And you start having a piece of your brain think, well, if we can win 5 out of the next 10, then they got to win 9. Well, what about just taking the game you're playing that day and devoting your total energy, concentration, focus, everything? And see, it's the old thing. It's the same thing if you're a hitter, you're trying to hit 300. You're a pitcher, you're trying to win 20 a game. What you want to do is just do the very best you can in that competition, the most current competition. The numbers will all take care of themselves. So, I think next 4 days, you in the back of your mind, you don't think, well, if we split, we're in good shape. You think, let's win Thursday.
Yeah, and no surprise, the person setting the tone was Adam Wainwright, because the Cardinals are 0-6 at Wrigley. It goes way back. They haven't been there since June. But after pitching great on Wednesday, it was Adam Wainwright who said, we're going up there, and I know we haven't won yet, but this time we're going to go up there, and we're going to beat those Cubbies. And I thought, who better than Wainwright to sort of set the tone? They know that they're 0-6 up there. Anything as a manager before a series like this, do you even have to say a word?
Well, the best part about it, they've gotten to this point with a certain process, a certain mindset about how everything, of how they come to the ballpark and prepare for the game that day. Look back at the game yesterday, and then, what is it going to take to win today in the terms of getting people out and getting runs on the board? And since it's working, you don't want to create, well, we got to do a little more today. We got to get a couple more outs, and we got to get a couple more bases. You work your process, you play as hard and as good as you can, the numbers will take care of yourself. In the end, the pressure is that you just do the very best you can. If it's good enough, you celebrate it. If it doesn't, then you turn the page to the next day. But you don't want to get distracted by trying to do more when you're doing enough already.
And when you mentioned the 7, it's 7 out of 10 with the Cubs in the final 10. The last 3 will be at Busch. Is it a bit of a primer, too, for the playoffs? We had Mike Claiborne on the radio the other day, and he said, I look at this as sort of like the playoffs before the playoffs. Can that be a healthy thing for a team to kind of have this edge, and it's necessary just to get in?
I think you have a bunch of conversations to try to get everybody's focus on the moment. And one of the things that helps is that you can say, as opposed to a team that, a couple of teams have wrapped up their playoff spot now, and now they have to have a different conversation. How do we maintain our edge? Well, the beautiful thing about actually still trying to earn your way in is that you are really fine-tuning and honing that competitive edge to the very highest point. And if you get, when you get in, then it's a couple of days later, you're in the playoffs. So there is a benefit to getting in late. People will point out the last two championships in 6-11. We did qualify on the last day. But there were a bunch of other times, we had a good lead, and we won the division series. And, we won couple times of the National League Series, and or had a good. So it really is, you know, you take the reality of the moment and you try to use every edge that you can in conversations. And one of them is, hey, this is great. This is great practice. That's what you do actually in April and May. Hey, let's practice playing big games. If you have you split the first two games and you have the rubber game in the series, let's pretend that this is September. Because the more that you can get in the habit of doing things when you have to do them, then later on, you know, you've already learned, you know, how to control your emotions either up or down.
I wanted to get a thought on Adam Wainwright, who is on an incredible run. He turned 38, but in his last four starts, it's 27 innings, one earned run. 27 innings, one earned run. And in his last 14 starts, the Cardinals have won 12 of the 14. There's certainly something to it. I think because he's so glib, he can be funny. He's certainly a nice, genuine person that people mistake that and say, well, he's not competitive. You know, like Carp could be kind of edgy and nasty, and some of these guys have that kind of scowl on their face. Wainwright's always smiling. He's as polite as anyone that's in the game. And I think that sort of glosses over the fact that he's a highly competitive person. I just wanted to get your take on that, because people love Wainwright, but they think of him as this kind of nice fella who's real friendly. And yet there's this side of him that maybe doesn't get enough credit.
Well, I think that's a little bit inaccurate, Martin, in the sense that the 4 days that Chris is not pitching, he's a great cheerleader on that bench. You know, you'll see him smiling if you're winning. You're losing, he's not smiling. Same thing with Adam. The day he pitches, I don't see him making jokes in the dugout. And I don't see him walking around the mound, hey, well, how you doing? Everything good? I mean, he's a dead game competitor. And the thing that strikes me the most that as a Cardinal fan we should really focus on and appreciate just the strength of his mind that he would continue to keep himself ready and also to compete, care so much about the competition. Here's a guy as a rookie that was a closer when Izzy got hurt, and here he is years later. And he's, you know, a very important starter, setting a tempo for all the young guys how you approach big games. So the fact that he's maintained that throughout his career, the great start and now the great finish, is really a testament to how special he is.
And in Milwaukee, they've been red hot, and all of this on the heels of losing their best player, one of the best players in baseball, Christian Yelich. Can that be, as stupid as it sounds, we all sort of wrote him off at that point, can it be a bit of a rallying cry for a team when you lose a major star player?
Yeah, it works that way. I mean, you're going to do one of two things, right? You're going to, uh-oh, we got our excuse now. We lost a big guy, and you lose an edge if you allow that. Or you can say, hey, we're still in it. I mean, it's the old thing, probably the best definition of handling adversity for a team, is that you concentrate on what you have, not what you don't have. And if you look back at 11, you know, when Adam got hurt in spring training, the first meeting we had was, okay, that's a huge loss, but we feel really bad for him because he's going to miss this and he's going to have to go through the surgery and all that stuff, but let's concentrate on what we have. And you know, you're a team, and you've got guys, you know, the next man up. You've got a way to plug that depth in, especially if you're bound and determined to keep competing.
I had a conversation the other day about great Cardinal playoff moments, playoff series, and there's been so many great moments, big moments. A series that gets sort of glossed over that was outstanding, but the Cardinals lost, was the NLDS 2001 with the Diamondbacks. And just amazing to think back, we talk about great pitching, the Matt Morris, Curt Schilling showdown in game one and in game five. I know the Cardinals ended up on the wrong side of it. Years later, can you appreciate just what a great series it was, even though it went in Arizona's direction?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we talk about it. I say we, there are different baseball people, but especially people that were on those Cardinal teams, and even afterwards when they reflect back at what that team did. Because, you know, up until 2009, the only division series that we lost was 2001. And the way we lost it was these excruciating game one and five, where Matt and Schilling were just great. So finally we lost game five, you know, in the ninth inning. But, you know, the fact that we had to beat Randy Johnson to get a win, and that, you know, it showed just how tough and close to playing the New York Yankees at some point for the World Championship. But, yeah, we talk about it a lot. That was a great series. Remember that those several years that I was in Arizona, that conversation came up a lot because that's been their only world championship, and they all felt that the series against the Cardinals was what set them up to play so good against the Yankees.
Yeah, amazing that game one, Matt Morris went seven innings on the road, gave up one run. Cardinals lose the game. Game five, Matt Morris went eight innings, one run. Cardinals lose the game. It was a J.D. Drew home run that actually tied it. Sort of fun looking back at some of these. Hey, another big-time name.
There's one other thing, by the way, that's lost in the shuffle. And it's mentioned very quickly because I hear it from all the time from the number 25, the big redhead. When J.D. tied it, now it's the top of the ninth inning. McGuire's a second hitter up, and that's when his back was bothering him. In fact, you know, that ended up being, you know, the end of his career. The leadoff guy got on, and I didn't think that, you know, Mac had already struck out a couple of times. I used to like to hit and run with him, but I just felt like he was having trouble getting to the pitch, so I pinch hit for him with Kerry Robinson to bunt. And then Renteria and Mike Matheny made outs, and we didn't score. So, you know, Mark will often enough bring up the fact that his last at bat, I pinch hit for him, and it's not the most pleasant memory that I have.
Well, I have to tell you though, I was looking at that box score the other day, and he was 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. It might have been. It was the right move, but it's still a really tough move. I'm hoping now when he brings it up that he's having fun with it, or is he still pissed?
Nah, well, you know, we're family. I mean, it's just like, you know, kidding and good fun, but there's an edge to it.
I wanted to ask you about a moment at Fenway with Carl Yastrzemski, the Red Sox legend, and then his grandson playing for the Giants. Just happens to be a weird interleague September matchup where the Giants are in Boston. But you have Yaz and his grandson. Is Yaz around a lot at Fenway? And he seems to be one of those guys who still has an aura.
Well, that's a great question because it has a couple of answers. Number one, his aura is strong. I mean, he is revered like Ted Williams. I mean, what he did during his playing, you know, the magical season of 1967 when he just got huge hits after huge. He has had a great year. And is a legit Hall of Famer. Yeah, so he's when he shows up, he is like Ted Williams walks in. The thing about it, he's a very private person, so he doesn't come around very much. In fact, I don't know if you know or not, but he rarely goes to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He just likes his privacy. So the fact that he came out and he was telling a story, like, you know, Mike is playing in San Francisco, so that game starts at 7, it's 10 here, and that game goes till 10, well, that's 1 in the morning. You know, Yaz sits up and watches his grandson from beginning to end. So it was a great story, and the young man has had two big days for us in front of his grandfather.
Very cool. We're coming right back with Tony La Russa here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Be the Match, a great organization, now a proud sponsor of Tony Talk, our weekly visits here with the Cardinals Hall of Fame manager. Be the Match has gotten a lot of attention of late because Layla, the Blues superfan, has gotten a lot of attention. And her story, you know what it is, needed a bone marrow transplant. Here's what takes place. Every 3 minutes in the United States, someone is diagnosed with a blood cancer. They turn to the family first, but 70% of the time, the family isn't a match. In the case of Layla Anderson, the superfan for the Blues, she needed a bone marrow transplant. They went to the registry. That's what Be the Match is all about. They have the donor registry. She got the call. Her family found out she had a match. She had a donor. It saves lives. Be the Match is really a community. It's donors. It's volunteers. It's healthcare professionals. It's researchers. You can get involved. BeTheMatch.org/give. You can make a donation so they can continue the great research they're doing, helping save lives. That's what Be the Match is all about. We appreciate them being a sponsor on Tony Talk. Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run, and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandies for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
It's Tony La Russa for my friends at Victory Men's Health, where they can help you be you again. If you're dealing with low T, ED, or vitamin deficiencies, make sure to see my friends at Victory Men's Health. They now have two locations, O'Fallon, Illinois, and the new addition in Town and Country. Both offices feel more like a man cave than a clinic. So get yourself back in the game by setting up an appointment at victorymenshealth.com.
One of our great sponsors on Tony Talk, Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64. Get to Lindbergh and you are there. Founded in 2005, a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, five-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com. Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
This will qualify as a friend to Tony, a Cardinal longtime employee honored at the ballpark recently, Mark DeJohn, who has been in the minor leagues. This is a guy who's been instructing and managing and coaching players for years, but a lot of Cardinal fans may not even know the name. Give me your thoughts on the career that he had with the Cardinal organization.
Well, he's one of the guys in a system in player development that gets very little attention, but as successful as the Cardinals have been developing players. You know, the most famous of all is George Kissel for many reasons, for 60-some years of his brilliance. A step or two behind him, when you talk about the development of players and the importance of instructors and coaches, would be Mark DeJohn. He's right there with like a Dave Ricketts, for example. Mark had great knowledge, great personality. He had a way about him that the players gravitated to him, and when it came time to instruct, he had this wealth of knowledge because he was a disciple of Kissel. So he will be sorely missed. The neat part, by the way, is that when our group got there in 1996 for 6 years, Mark was on our coaching staff. He was a bullpen coach for a couple of years, and he became the bench coach. And then at year seven, then he went back to player development, and Joe Pettini came up. So Mark DeJohn has had a great career, has been a big part of all the success that they've had when young guys have come up through the system to contribute. And he's going to be very much missed.
I could be wrong, but I did a story in the early days of Sotoguchi, and I think he might have been his first manager, or he had some early contact with trying to get Taguchi developed for the big league level. Does that sound right?
Well, if you talk to many of these guys, Skip Schumacher, you know, the recently passed Chris Duncan, you know, Sotoguchi, you talk to any of these guys, they would have met Mark maybe in rookie ball because that's where he started. And then A-ball, and then Double-A. He touched these guys up along the line, and he touched, you know, H-O-R-D-E, a horde of them, man. His imprint is all over a whole bunch of players. And the other part about it, he is a very unique, very funny personality. He would come in, even when he was in player development, he'd come in our Major League clubhouse in the meetings in the morning and do something just to crack everybody out because he's just got a great sense of humor behind all that great knowledge.
Also something that took place in Boston and leads to an interesting question about Bruce Bochy and his Hall of Fame candidacy. He got his 2000th win, unfortunately, at the expense of the Red Sox, but I know that's somebody you know real well. There's been some debate because he's won three World Series. That, you would think, rubber stamps you for Cooperstown. Overall record is a losing record, which surprises some people. There has been feast or famine in San Francisco. Just give me your thoughts on the career of Bruce Bochy.
Well, I just had the good fortune yesterday to go in the office and talk to him. You know, we've been together a long time. In fact, in 1996, my first year, one of the first series we played was that Paradise thing that they did in Hawaii. That was my first time to really manage against Bruce. And in fact, he worked a double steal where I threw the ball to second base and the guy from third stole home to beat us. So I reminded him that he had done that to us. And Bruce has had a great career. The one loss as far as being under 500 is canceled totally by the three world championships. It just shows you when his team had a chance to win, not only did he pull it off, he was an important part the way, really good with getting guys to play the game right, had a wonderful touch with the bullpen, and winning 2000, I saw, you know, I was there last night, I stood up and clapped for him. Well, they say there's like 11 guys in the history have ever done it. I mean, that, you know, longevity and excellence in longevity, Bruce has got it, and then there's going to be no question that probably whenever that group comes around, maybe a year or two, he will be voted in by the Veterans Committee.
And it's funny because sometimes people will discount longevity, but I've always argued that means somebody wanted you, you were employable, you still had value. I mean, I don't think longevity, well, I just hung around a long time. I think anybody who's in any position for a lengthy period of time should be saluted because it means they were wanted.
I think the point to make there, Martin, is that if you talk to most Hall of Famers, and I know I had the privilege in St. Louis to talk to, you know, Stan and Red and Gibby and Brock, you know, Whitey and those guys. Well, you know, when they talk about what's the criteria, first of all, you have to be comparable to the generation, to the Hall of Famers in your generation, whether you're a pitcher, you're a hitter, or a manager, okay? But when you're comparable to them, the second part of that is you have to have been comparable for a number of years. There's got to be a longevity. So there are guys, for example, hitters, pitchers, managers, that have only done it for 10, 11 years. And they don't get in because the longevity is not there. So you must maintain that excellence. And, you know, Bruce, over his 20-plus years, has definitely done that.
Let's spin the wheel. Little Redbird roulette. And since it's Cards Cubs, a former Cardinal, Sean Dunston, who was a longtime Cub, first-round overall pick of the Cubs, came to St. Louis, had some good moments. And I think, I don't know that you were the first, but we ended up, he was in the outfield, longtime infielder. What's your blank on Sean Dunston?
Wonderful addition to our ball club. You know, we went against him with the Cubs. He's a young player, very, very talented athlete. Could run, could throw. You know, had a real flash to his game. Then he goes to the Giants and was still a good player. But when he came to us, you know, he had some experience and really added to our club. You know, he was able to play several positions. He went in there every day, but it was a good time in his career just to, you know, to keep him fresh. But he was a light in the clubhouse, a spirit before and after the games, and a very, very competitive and impactful type player. And to this day, you know, he looks great. He keeps himself in shape, and he's got all of his personality and energy going.
Yeah, and this summer, his son, Sean Dunston Jr., was actually playing ball across the river for the Gateway Grizzlies. And I don't bring this up too often, but this weekend it's relevant. Tony is, in fact, a former Cub. The Cub career, remind everybody, lasted?
Well, I made one appearance in 1973, and it was the last time you ever see me anywhere in a box score. But I did score the winning run, and I wish the story could end there, but it wasn't because I got on base. It's just because I pinch ran for Ron Santol, and it happened to be on opening day. Scored a run in the ninth inning. That shows you what a lousy career I had when my highlight is a winning run that I had nothing to do with except walk around the bases.
Was it at Wrigley?
It was at Wrigley opening day. There's a picture of it that they show me once in a while where, from the stands where they show me stepping on home plate. And a couple of days later, he said, you've contributed. Now it's time to go to AAA where you belong.
Just think, all those years, those jerks are booing you at Wrigley, and they're booing a former Cub.
And a guy who scored the winning run. I mean, that's really unfair.
Tony, great visit. As always, it's presented by Marie Davila Senior Living, Triad Bank, Victory Men's Health, Greenville University, and Be the Match. Maybe we'll see you in St. Louis in October. Look forward to next week's visit as well.
Well, I enjoyed it. I hope the fans did. Thanks a lot, Mark.